ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट 33। तस्मिन् महायोग माये मुमुक्षु शरणे सुरः ददृशु शिवम् आसीनम् त्यक्तमर्षम् इवान्तकम्। तस्मिन् महायोग माये मुमुक्षु शरणे सुरः दुदृशु शिवम् आसीनम् त्यक्तमर्षम् इवान्तकम्। वर्ड फॉर वर्ड। तस्मिन् अंडर दैट ट्री महायोगमाये having many sages engaged in meditation on the supreme, mumukshu of those who desire liberation, sharane the shelter, suraha the demigods, dadrushu saw, shivam lord Shiva, asinam seated, tyakta amarsham having given up anger, eva as antakam eternal time. Translation: the demigods saw Lord Shiva sitting under that tree, which was competent to give perfection to mystic yogis and deliver all people. As great as time eternal, he appeared to have given up all anger. Please speak responsibly. The demigods
saw Lord Shiva
sitting under that tree,
which was competent
to give perfection
to mystic yogis
and deliver all people.
As grave as time eternal,
he appeared to have given up
all anger.
Purport. In this verse, the word Mahayogamaya is very significant. Yoga means meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Mahayoga means those who engage in the devotional service of Vishnu. Meditation means remembering, smaranam. There are 9 different kinds of devotional service, of which smaranam is one process. The yogi remembers the form of Vishnu within his heart. Thus, there are many devotees engaged in meditation on Lord Vishnu under the big banyan tree. The Sanskrit word maha is derived from the affix mahat. This affix is used when there is a great number or quantity. So, Mahayoga indicates that there were many great yogis and devotees meditating on the form of Lord Vishnu. Generally, such meditators are desirous of liberation from material bondage, and they are prompted to the spiritual world, to one of the Vaikunthas. Liberation means freedom from material bondage or nations. In the material world, we are suffering life after life because of our bodily identification, and liberation is freedom from this miserable condition of life. ॐ अज्ञान्तिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुर्वे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयंभूपाकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकम्। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. So, the demigods saw Lord Shiva sitting under that tree, which was competent to give perfection to mystic yogis and deliver all people. As grave as time eternal, he appeared to have given up all anger. So in this chapter, chapter 6, in which Brahma satisfies Lord Shiva is the title, up until now all the verses were describing the journey that all the demigods took along with Lord Brahma to come to Kailash, where Lord Shiva resides. So there's a beautiful description, fascinating description of such beautiful birds in the trees, of such lush green trees full of fruits, and the birds singing, making very pleasing sound, and the bumblebees humming, and the description of such a pleasing aroma coming from the forest flowers. So the demigods are very fascinated with Mount Kailash and with all the description of these beautiful the trees and forests of on the mountain. So here now they reach a tree which is huge, enormously huge by normal standards, and under that tree is Lord Shiva sitting and he's meditating, and he's not alone. There are other devotees who are meditating on the Lord. So there are other devotees who are meditating, and Srila Prabhupada specifically emphasizes on smaranam in this purport. He says there are 9 processes of devotional service. Out of that, smaranam or remembrance is what Lord Shiva is engaged in. So for Lord Shiva, the only purpose of life, or his only business in life, is to engage in devotional service to the Lord, or to remember Krishna or Vishnu. For him, remembering the Lord is all that he does. So that's what is described here, that he is meditating on the Lord. Excuse me. And he is sitting there under that tree, where there is actually, that tree, particular tree, doesn't even have any birds. So there is no disturbance under that tree. So you can actually meditate. It is an appropriate place for meditation. So then Srila Prabhupada talks about smaranam and then explains how Lord Shiva is engaged in remembering the Lord. So in the Vishnu Purana it is mentioned, in the Padma Purana it is mentioned, smartavya satam Vishnu vismartavya najatuchit sarve vidhi nishedha yor eta yor eva kinkaraha. So smartavya satatam Vishnu, which means always remember Lord Vishnu or Krishna. And vismartavya najatuchit, not for a moment should you forget him. You see, there is a positive, and then there is also another illumination by saying that not for a moment should you forget him. And sarve vidhi nishedha means all the other rules and regulations are subservient or secondary. So all the other rules and regulations are secondary to this main rule or one principle, this one topmost principle, that we should always remember Krishna and never forget him. But then at the same time, we also see that we have so many rules and regulations, like the rules and regulations of deity worship, the rules and regulations of how to put the tilak, and how many times should you bathe during the day, how should you put your clothes on, and what is appropriate behavior as a Vaishnava. So there are a lot of rules. And why do we need? So this is called vidhi. There is a vidhi. There is a proper way of doing things. So then why do we need to follow these rules or this vidhi that is mentioned in the scriptures also? But then at the same time, they're saying the topmost thing is to remember Krishna. So the reason is that there is a natural inclination. There are natural ways of doing things, and there are unnatural ways of doing things. So because of the fact that from time immemorial we are stuck in this material world, then our material conditioning has induced us to like which is not natural, and to discard or ignore that which should be a natural inclination. So serving Krishna or thinking about Krishna does not come naturally to us, right? It has to be practiced. That's why we have the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti Mark. So that's why Prabhupada saying smaranam. So how to increase that smaranam? That smaranam will come by following this rules and regulations, so that we can practice how to remember Krishna. So for example, things like eating, it comes naturally to us. Every few hours, we feel hungry. Nobody has to remind us to eat. And at night, we all want to sleep. That is the time when to sleep. So we all need some rest. Nobody has to remind us to rest. But for a person who's not healthy, for a person who's sick, eating may not come naturally. He may be anorexic. Some people are anorexic. They don't feel like eating. But a higher wisdom will tell them that to keep the body and soul together, they still need to eat. Otherwise, it will lead to weakness of body and mind. So then, for a healthy person, eating comes naturally. So, and then for anorexic, it will not. Similarly, we are all unhealthy. We are all in a diseased condition where loving Krishna, thinking of Krishna, doesn't come naturally to us. And the sad part is that we have become used to this unhealthy condition. And we are thinking it's okay. So, till the time that we don't realize that we have to get better or get healthy, then we will continue to suffer in this unhealthy condition. But when we realize that we are suffering and then we need to get better, only then are we able to come out of this unhealthy suffering condition of body and mind. So then, like, we are very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has created this ISKCON. All over the world there are temples which are actually, so Srila Prabhupada said that this is like a hospital for the diseased. So our sick minds, which are unable to think of Krishna naturally, Prabhupada has created such beautiful temples and such nice varieties of temple services, so that we can engage ourselves in those services and think of Krishna by cooking for the Lord, by dressing the Lord, by distributing the prasadam, mahaprasadam of the Lord, by cleaning the temple of the Lord, and by going on book smaranam, which will increase our remembrance of the Lord. So this is what is this is this is then this, this and of course when we do this, then it cleanses the heart. It cleanses, and then there are also material attachments to things that it will get cleansed. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Jnayatiyasu Vairagyam Jnanam Chirhat Ahitukam. So the Lord's, you know, it's mentioned in Bhagavatam that when you engage in devotional service of Lord Vasudeva of Krishna, then automatically causeless knowledge and detachment will occur. Which means you will automatically start to understand that these mundane things that you're so attached to are not giving you happiness. In fact, they're only pulling you down and down into more and more suffering. Slowly and slowly start to dissolve. They're no longer disturbing you so much. You see? So then engage the mind in the positive, in a positive way, in a Krishna conscious way, and avoid the negative, accumulating more and more sinful karma. So pots, they're painting the pots for the Lord by depicting Lord's Leela on the pots. So they're already engaged. So this is such a beautiful, you know, meditation to paint a pot with the Lord, helping us remember Krishna. And then some other devotees are organizing how to organize some mothers who will fill those pots with bhoga that will be offered to the Lord on the day of Snanyatra. And of course the pujaris are busy organizing how to arrange the bathing of the Lord with all the different paraphernalia. And then there are cooks who are engaged in how to do prasadam distribution for that day. There'll be a huge crowd. Itself is very enlivening. So in this way, if we engage in service of the Lord, what are we doing? Because the mind is engrossed in Krishna, it is not engrossed in Maya. So we are not engaged in any activity that will bring us reaction. You see, anything which is different from Krishna will bring us a reaction, good or bad. And as long as we are caught up in that cycle of action and reaction, or the senses of our extended dear ones, then that actually not only purifies the heart of these kind of lower desires, but then the cells from becoming more sinful, from becoming implicated in sinful reactions, and we are also progressing. So it's working in many ways. So then here, and they are here and they're seeing Lord Shiva sitting in this position and meditating. They were in a way actually, they indirectly, they actually contributed to Shiva and he should not have. But none of them supported her. Nobody corrected her. Of course, they were nobody corrected Daksha. And they were all afraid of Daksha. So they did not correct him. But in doing so, they also became implicated. Lord Brahma gave them very good advice and said that Lord Shiva is such a pure devotee and is such a humble soul. How can there be any happiness in your lives if you disappoint him? In the mercy of Lord Shiva, that in spite of the fact that they were present in that arena where his wife, Mother Sati, lost his life, and they were all present there and they didn't do anything to stop that, yet they expected that Lord Shiva will forgive them. So such is the greatness of Lord Shiva that they take it for granted that he will forgive Mahavishnu, Lord Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu was under the ocean and he meditated outside. For many thousands of years he meditated on Lord Vishnu, desiring to see him. And then Lord Mahavishnu appeared and he said, "My dear Lord Shiva, what brings you here and what do you want from me?" So then Lord Shiva says, "I do not want anything for myself, my Lord, but I am worried about these, so I'm concerned about them, and he will come into this material world as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to encourage the people to chant the holy names of the Lord and then deliver them. So that is his goals." And then Lord Mahavishnu said, "Not only that, you and me as a combined incarnation will come as Advaita Acharya, and we will help Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread the holy name of the Lord, to spread the glories of the holy name of the Lord in the pastimes of the Lord in the material world." So not only that, Advaita Acharya. And he's saying to Advaita Acharya, "Look, if you take birth and if you come into this material world, I will have no one to punish. There will be no one there for me to take and to punish." So he was getting a bit concerned and he said, "Look, this is a service that Lord Krishna has given to me. So I also want to be able to do my service. But then if you come, then how will I do my service?" So then Advaita Acharya said, "Look, I will come because this is for a higher cause. And we have to not punish the people, we have to deliver them, that is the whole purpose." But then he says, "And you can punish those who are proud." So in this way, Yamaraj was also satisfied that he will be able to do his service. And then Advaita Acharya, of course, appears later on, and then he's in that incarnation, he's spreading the glories of the holy name and assisting Mahaprabhu in the Sankirtan movement. The question is, how do we as practicing devotees learn the process of smaranam or remembering the Supreme? And he had a very devotional, very humble son named Raghunandan. And Raghunandan had a deity, Gopal, and he would very sincerely serve this deity, very attached to serving this deity. And so once Mahaprabhu asks Mukunda Das, he says, jokingly, he says, "So who is the father? Are you the father or is Raghunandan your father?" So he says, "Mahaprabhu, he is the one who's teaching me about Krishna. And I think definitely he is the father. And he is an Krishna Bhakti, he is the guru. And therefore he is the father." So then talking about the impressions, how we develop Krishna conscious impressions or ideas or impressions are in the heart. They come out when we are chanting. We are not able to focus on the chanting sometimes because there are so many thoughts going on in the heart. So the idea is that you create such strong impressions about the Lord, about His holy name, about His pastimes, such sweet impressions that when we are chanting, then they automatically appear on the consciousness on the threshold of our mind. Yeah. So Mukunda Das was once sitting with the Muslim ruler of that time, and he was giving him some prescription, and he was discussing also some medicines and herbs and what would help. And suddenly the king's servant comes in with a peacock feather. And on seeing the peacock feather, Mukunda Das suddenly he just faints and he falls down. And then the king becomes worried. He says, "Oh, my physician has maybe just fainted, or has he died?" But then he sprinkles some water on the physician, on Mukunda Das, and Mukunda Das comes, he regains his consciousness. And then the king asks him, "What happened to you?" And Mukunda Das wasn't going to reveal to him the real reason. So he said, "Oh, I just You know, my head just reeled, you know, sometimes it happens to me and I just fall down. But the real reason was that he went into so much ecstasy by just seeing the peacock feather. He remembered, who wears a peacock feather? Only Krishna wears a peacock feather in his hair. So on seeing the peacock feather, he just immediately thought of Krishna, and with such great emotion of love that he went into ecstasy and he fainted. So this is how the impressions should be in the heart. You should have such a strong impression of the Lord, such a beautiful impression of the Lord in the heart, that when you see something mundane also, or if you see, when you're not even in the association of devotees or not even in the temple, you see something outside, you can still think of Krishna. And it is mostly these impressions or samskaras that we carry with us all the time, that come out again and again. And for us, it is actually not difficult to create these impressions. All it needs is a little meditation on the Lord. Like, for example, if we see Radha Vallabha here, Krishna is wearing such a beautiful dhoti. You know, you can see he's wearing a beautiful dhoti. He has different kinds of flutes. And Krishna in Vrindavan, he wears Vajayanti mala made of 5 different forest flowers. You know, and the bumblebees are humming on those flowers. And his shark-shaped earrings are moving to and fro. And then he has beautiful curly hair. Then his footprints, he leaves beautiful footprints behind in the forest of Vrindavan when he's walking. You know, and the ankle bells, they're jingling. And it is said that they make the sound of runjun, runjun when they walk. The ankle bells make such a beautiful sound. So in this way, if we just take time out to just meditate on the beautiful form of the Lord, then even when we are not there in front of the Lord, this meditation will remain with us. And Srila Prabhupada, of course, was also like that. When he went out and he saw something which was, when he was not in the temple, he was traveling with devotees and he was moving from, you know, traveling from one country to another. He would often see something and suddenly he would say something so Krishna conscious that all the disciples were like taken by surprise that, oh, he's suddenly, you know, he's brought out something so Krishna conscious. So like once he, Srila Prabhupada, he saw a billboard which was about insurance. And so there was this whole happy family sitting there, the father and mother and 2-3 children. And there were hands, there were like 2 hands around them say, oh, you are protected, now you are protected. So, and Srila Prabhupada immediately said, oh yeah, that's Krishna. That's how Krishna protects us. So in this way, whenever he sees something mundane like this, also he could think of Krishna. And then he read somewhere unalloyed steel, and he said, yes, unalloyed devotional service, which is not mixed. So he could immediately think of something that, he's thinking of Krishna. Krishna was on his mind all the time. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada remembers. And then also, there are ways in which we can actually design our life or design our routine so that we can create nice impressions on our heart about the Lord. So then smaranam increases. Not just while when we are consciously engaged, like when we are, even when we are consciously engaged. So for example, so many times it may happen that when we taking darshan of the deities, we are looking at them, but there are 100 other things going on in the mind because there is so much to do, you know. And also sometimes when we are chanting, the mind is going back and forth, drifts away and then you realize, oh, it's drifted off and you're trying to bring it back. And then again you're able to hear a few mantras and again it wanders off and you again bring it back. So it's a constant endeavor. But Sachinandan Maharaj has given some very nice points, some tips, how to create good impressions, how to create good samskaras on the heart. So you can think of the Lord even when you're not in the presence of the in the presence of the devotees or temple. He says the first and foremost thing, the most important thing is you must read scriptures, must read the Shastra. And Bhagavad Gita is actually so divine that Lord Krishna, the Supreme Lord himself, spoke those words that we read in Bhagavad Gita. And it is so sweet to read Bhagavad Gita. So he says the most important thing is to read the words. And then he says read, keep reading till something really touches your heart. You know, not like you just read and, okay, I've done 20 pages, today's quota's done, so close the book and off you go. But he says, no, you read till something really touches your heart, and then you stop, and then you reflect, you meditate on it, you develop, and you build that beautiful impression on your heart, nurture it. So he says, read with emotions, you know, so all your emotions are pulled into that particular leela or the pastime that you're reading. And then the second thing he says you must have deep association with devotees, strong relations with devotees. Because what will devotees do? They will talk about Krishna. They will talk about serving Krishna in different ways. They will talk about how you can engage yourself in. Because our mind, you see how our mind is always influenced by the three modes of material nature. Sometimes we feel very enthused, we are very enlivened to do service, and we push ourselves to do it. But the other times we may feel a little bit, not so enthused, or we're spacing out, or just that time when, feeling just not up to it. But then when we talk to devotees, then that enthusiasm comes back. Because it says, Sangat Sanjayate Kama, it is, the association makes a lot of difference. So building strong relationships with devotees who are themselves engaged in devotional service will help you come up in those times when you're feeling a bit low or you're feeling a bit not so enthused. And then another thing he says is the festival days. He says these days are a great opportunity to engage yourself in the service of the Lord and to create good memories. And another thing that I've seen some devotees click a lot of pictures on the festival days of the deities, of the devotees chanting and dancing. And sometimes when they're traveling, they'll be looking in their phones and are actually looking at that beautiful memory that they have created of that festival. So, and he says that on a festival you should have a mission. Have something that you think, okay, on say for example, now Snan Yatra is coming. What are you going to do on Snan Yatra? What is going to be your specific service? You know, and meditate on the pastime that is associated with that festival. So you get into that mood of doing the service in a loving way. So all with your mind, body and words, you will be able to engage in the service. So in this way, he says, create very good impressions for the festival days. And another tip he gives is, he says, pilgrimage, places of pilgrimage. We must go to places of pilgrimage to energize ourselves, to recharge our spiritual batteries. But in saying that also, we should know that Srila Prabhupada said that if you are in that Vrindavan consciousness, if you are able to think about Sri Radha Krishna in that loving mood, then any place for you is Vrindavan. Just like Srila Prabhupada, you know, there's a poster outside on the notice board, if you, not sure how many of you have read it, but it says that if you do anything for the Lord in the loving mood, then this place where we're living, this is not Melbourne, this is Vrindavan. So it all depends on our consciousness. And consciousness, we have to purify. That's a constant effort. We create that consciousness where we can be in that Vrindavan mood. And then he says, daily life. In your daily life, because festivals don't come every day, every 15 days or once in a month, but how can we enthuse ourselves in daily life to do nice service and to remember Krishna, Smaranam? So he says that you have to listen to lectures, do service to the Lord, and in your home you create an environment which is like, which reminds you of Krishna. You should have pictures of Krishna on the walls, or some shloka that you have recently heard that has really touched you. Or if you read a book and there is something that you really liked and you think you want to meditate it on, you want to read it again and again, just pencil it down on a piece of paper and put it on the wall where you can read it again and again. So in this way, he says, the remembrance of the Lord will increase. And then, as Srila Prabhupada says, always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is ultimately the goal of all the services that are created. Srila Prabhupada says that because we are not at the platform where we can chant attentively 24 hours, so then we have all these services. So we are practicing to remember Krishna 24 hours because we can't chant 24 hours and we don't have that inclination yet. So we chant 16 rounds and then we engage in services, that will remind us of Krishna. And in this way, the mind becomes calm. You see how Burujan Prabhu says that the mind is always, it's influenced by the three modes, and the modes are competing. They are competing to influence us. Sometimes you're in mode of goodness, so devotional service is easy. Sometimes you're in mode of passion, and sometimes you're in mode of ignorance. So then it's, going down to the negative. So he says the modes are competing. But if we create an environment around us, we have a circle of devotees and we have a regular sadhana, then that will help us to not deviate so much from our regular practices of devotional service to the Lord. And that will help us to keep a consciousness of more of mode of goodness, more in mode of goodness than in mode of passion or ignorance. So in this way, if we practice the regulated practices that are in nectar of devotion, there's so many ways that are described how we can improve this further. So if we keep on practicing in this way, then slowly and slowly, at least when we are taking darshan of the deities, then we are actually looking at them and admiring them and not thinking of other things. A stage will come. And then also when we are chanting, a stage will come that when we chant 16 rounds, then you will not want to stop at 16. You will want to do more than 16. Maybe initially it will be just one more or two more, but that stage will come. Or then, before then, a stage will come when we're chanting those 16 rounds, we can actually hear the Maha Mantra. We can hear every word that we say. But it may go back and forth, but the amount of time that we spend hearing will increase slowly and slowly. But it takes a lot of dedication and sincerity. The more sincere we are, the easier it will be, because ultimately Krishna sees our sincerity. He sees how honestly we are trying, and we are making specific endeavors and special efforts to make special time for chanting. And he says we're making special time to give Krishna's holy names to others, to preach Krishna consciousness to others. And Krishna says clearly in Bhagavad Gita that anyone who preaches my glories to others, he is most dear to me. So like, this is the month of book distribution, and you see how devotees are making extra endeavors. They're pushing themselves, finding out time. They're spending less time on recreation or eating and sleeping, but going on out on Sankirtan. So they're getting a lot of mercy of the Lord, because that's what the Lord wants. He says, preach my glories. And one book given to any person is like a time bomb ticking. It is such a potential, it's a time bomb that can, one day when that person will pick up that book and read the book, that book will completely transform their lives. So it's just amazing how these devotees are making this extra effort to do this, and they are definitely going to get special mercy of the Lord. So in this way, when we push ourselves to do regulated sadhana and to preach the glories of the Lord to others, then the Lord becomes pleased. Because ultimately, we can only make an effort. We only have the willingness, but the ability to cleanse the material desires, to give us the strength to chant attentively, only comes from Him. We make an effort and we get His mercy. That's how it goes. So I will end here. Are there any questions or comments or corrections? Yes, Prabhuji.
You're talking about how we're in an unnatural condition.
Yeah.
And, I was just wondering, how does one come from being in this unnatural state, thinking it's normal not to remember Krishna, to start to make an endeavor?
So how to come from that unnatural state where one is not remembering Krishna to a state where one starts to think that they now need to remember Krishna?
What's the element?
See, it's what brings about the change? It is actually the frustration that Maya gives us. You see, a lot of us, before we became devotees, we were actually frustrated enough, and we were then sincerely looking. And then Krishna sends somebody who will either give us a book or we'll have prasadam or we'll get the association of devotee. But till the time, like, you know, we, as Srila Prabhupada says, those who have a cheating mentality will get gurus who will come to cheat them. But those of us who are really sincerely frustrated with Maya, who understand that this material world is really not giving me what I want, so what is it that I really want? When we start asking these kind of questions, like if you see in the Sunday feast classes, a lot of new people who come, they're very curious. Their questions are actually, you know, you can actually tell that they have understood that this material world is like a big illusion. You know, all these big billboards, this industry, these capitalist economies, they're actually there to delude us. You know, so they actually have come to that understanding, that intelligence, and then they're thinking, what next? So where do we go? So then, by the mercy of Lord Krishna, then somehow they end up in the temple. They're looking for some spiritual alternatives. They're looking to for a higher goal in life because they understand that just eating, sleeping, mating and defending is not the goal of life. So that is what causes a shift, a mind change, and then that's when we all take up to devotional service. Anit Prabhu, would you like to add something more to it?
Chato Vidha Bhajan Deva, there's four types of people who attend the surrender.
Yeah.
Okay. One is in distress, the seeker of material benefits, the inquisitive, and somebody who's in knowledge.
Mm. Yeah.
So, there are a variety of inspiration.
Mm. That is the ultimate thing that brings us to Krishna.
The best is the gyan, but you know, because they don't know why they should worship Krishna, because he's the supreme person. But the end result will be the same for all if they follow the process of personal service.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Prabhuji. Any other question? Yes, Prabhuji. That's right.
Okay. You're talking about our remembrance of Krishna following rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
So within that following rules and regulations, is there an opportunity for that spontaneous attraction
to
Krishna?
Is there, so within following the rules and regulations, is there an opportunity for spontaneous attraction? Well, that will automatically follow, isn't it? That is, spontaneous means that happens automatically, so we don't have to create that. We have to practice to come to a stage where it will happen. So all we can do is sincerely endeavor to follow the rules and to engage in service of the Lord. And then we wait for the mercy of the Lord when He wants to manifest His past sense in our mind and when He, because He says, I give knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. Yeah. So, to the extent that we are surrendered and we sincerely serve Him, then He will give us the remembrance. There is no doubt about that. And even at the time of death, He says, if you have sincerely served all your life, then He will make some arrangement that somehow, at the time of death, which is a very, very difficult moment, the soul is leaving the body and it is considered extremely painful. But for a devotee, the Lord makes such an arrangement that the devotee is able to think of the Lord. So that is automatic. That is what we are trying to develop. And you will see that when you do actually are doing service to the Lord, and there will be a moment where you actually very lovingly, you for example, when you're dressing the deities and then you suddenly say, oh, this looks very nice on the Lord. You're actually admiring Him, you know. And that is spontaneous. That admiration is very spontaneous. You see that it's not because you're following the rules, but it just comes from your heart. Or sometimes you hear some kirtan and then it really touches you deeply. So that is, you are doing, following the process of listening to kirtan, but the fact that it touches you deeply, that is up to the Lord, isn't it? That He arranges in such a way that it causes that beautiful impression in your heart. Yeah. So spontaneity develops as we do the follow the regulated process of Vedi Sadhana Bhakti. You want to add anything else?
Well, festivals, Akadasi, Kirtan, Association of Devotees, hearing about the town, sources, what is it? Even residing in a sacred place. So all of these items give rise to
So the
answer is yes. Yeah. So, yeah. That's what we do it for. Because there's this notion of this world, the rules and regulations, there's no nothing inspiring, but actually the practice, because we're practicing, is full of opportunities to experience a little spontaneous devotional service. So we're conditioned, and so therefore, sometimes it feels like drudgery. But that's not the fault of the process.
Yeah.
That's not the fault of bhakti. That's our contamination. So we follow the process of bhakti without understanding. And you know, the Prabhupada makes a comment that all of it's in a Bhagavad Gita, but just if you're chanting Hare Krishna, the presence of the Lord in his name is not different from him. He's actually personally present.
Yeah, yeah.
And all potencies that Krishna has are endowed within his name. But then we might think, well, I don't feel, you know, in Krishna's presence when I chant Hare Krishna. So therefore, must be something wrong with Krishna. But it's actually just because of our deep material covering consciousness that we're not able to appreciate Krishna all the time in his name. Sometimes in kirtan we do, but often we feel anxious. We sit down in the Bhagavatam class and fall asleep. So we're think of thing devotees, which is why we should be humble, you know, because we think, what's going on here? How come this process is working? But that's just a symptom of our pride, and it's a symptom of our, you know, covering. So that's why we have the Bhagavad reading and the Mantra reading. We follow the process of Pantravatmika Vidhi, or the worship of the deity, as an additional element to that purification, or the practices that bring about purification. And then gradually, you know, that practice will uncover our natural love and appreciation for Krishna, which is already there. So it exists within the heart. It's just we're quite conditioned.
Yeah. You're quite conditioned, yes. It's a fact.
And when I realize it, we think, what's going on? Krishna, come on, so good luck.
Those who are listening online, I'll just repeat what Anirudh Prabhu said briefly. And he has said that to start with, it is residing in a holy place, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy names of the Lord. These activities like festivals, Ekadasi, they all help us remember the Lord, and then they bring us to the platform of spontaneity. And especially we experience ecstasy in the kirtan, so we enjoy. So it's not that we are not experiencing the ecstasy. We do get a few glimpses, a few moments when we actually feel deeply touched by the service that we're doing or the emotion of love towards the Lord. But it's not coming all the time. It's just, but it develops. That's how we develop slowly. It develops into natural love, and we will come to. And Prabhupada is also saying that it is not that if, you know, we say it is, the process is effective. It's just that because our contamination is so deep rooted that it takes time to uncover it. To once the contamination is clear, then we will experience a full ecstasy. But till the time we don't have a clear consciousness, then we have to make an effort. It seems like an effort. But the process is effective and it works. And we all experience it, because you see, if we had not experienced any ecstasy so far, we wouldn't have been here. To keep practicing something that doesn't give you anything in return, we wouldn't be doing it, isn't it? So that's why we do experience it. We experience some love, some reciprocation from the Lord. So that's why we are here. Okay. Any other question? Thank you. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.